probably the final play of the game. In regulation. It is caught by Dyson. Can he get in? No, he cannot. Mike Jones made the tackle.
Oh, my goodness. 26 years ago today, down at the Georgia Dome, the Tennessee Titans in the Super Bowl lose to the St. Louis Rams. Welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel, downtown Nashville. Hope you're doing well. Hope you got power back. If you don't, we're thinking about you guys. Bridgestone Arena is going to be open if you need to come down and, I don't know, charge your phones up, be around people and this and that. Come on down and till 4:30 today if you need to get downtown and do all that. So welcome back to the Omni Chase and Big Joe Show. Having a good time. And, I mean, come on. How lucky we get on this day 26 years ago, the Titans make the Super Bowl appearance, and we're joined by the head coach that day, one Jeff Fisher. Coach, good afternoon.
How many years ago did you say?
26.
Wow.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. No, it's okay. It's cool. It's the memory's right there.
Right?
It's staring me in the face. Yeah, it's been really cool.
What stands out more than anything about that game to you?
Well, there's a lot of similarities between that game and what's going on here with the weather. You remember that Atlanta froze.
That's right. Yeah.
And so we literally, the first couple of days of practice. Now, there was only 1 week between the championship game and the Super Bowl. So unlike, that was the last time. So we got to go down there and get there as quick as we can. I sent the players down there. I went with the players. The coaches stayed behind. They game planned. We had a practice, and we're practicing, with all due respect to Georgia Tech, on the AstroTurf outside. And it's this cold.
It is. That's right.
And this is supposed to be the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, it was just the weather. It was just really, really, really tough. I mean, you guys, were you guys down there? You would,
yeah,
in the media tent? And free,
yep.
You probably wearing the same heavy jacket you got on right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it was crazy.
The Georgia Tech practice on that Tuesday was nuts. I was like, what the hell are we doing here?
Yeah, but we were ready. You know, we were battle-tested. You know, I knew, I think it was Blaine and maybe D. Mace. They just got in just a brouhaha in practice. They were so wired up, you know. And
why does that not surprise me?
With Derek and Blaine, yeah, no.
Well, and then Blaine got knocked out in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
So he's out, and you had – who was his backup? Was it –
Well, we had Perry Phoenix, and we had Anthony Dorsett. And then, of course, you know, Marcus Robertson, our starting free safety all year, had a he had kind of a stress fracture in his lower leg, and he blew it out in the championship game in Jacksonville. So we lost Marcus going, and then we lose Blaine, and then we had the backups. But that happens against the greatest show on turf.
Right.
We've asked you this before, but I want you to say it and me not say it. If you score on that last drive, you kick and go for overtime, right?
Yeah, baby.
Yep.
They were dead.
Right.
Kevin Carter was on their sideline on the last drive. He was so tired.
Right.
You know, and so, I would never rob our team, players, organization of having a chance at a Super Bowl based on a decision that I make. And I thought about it. We're going to kick it. We're going to go win. I mean, Steve had come alive, you know.
Oh.
And the halftime thing, you know, that halftime must have been an hour long. And so we had so much time. And my whole message to them was, let's just regroup and let's go back and do what got us here. So had some play calling issues on the offensive side that we needed to get it corrected, and just let's get back to freaking handing it off and playing the way we play. And we did. We got back in it.
Can I ask you, Lynn Swann asked you after the game what you told Steve, and you said, I want to keep that private. I'm not going to ask you what you told Steve. Why did you want to keep that private?
Because it was a conversation between he and I. I mean, he was on his knee at the end, and it was over. And, you know, Steve and I had a great relationship, and that continued well beyond up to his death. And, you know, it was just a special opportunity between he and I. And, you know, it was, you can imagine what it was. It was about, hey, we're going to get back, you know, and all that stuff. But what a courageous effort by him. And, you know, hey, we scored that touchdown, man. Oh, boy. It's a different deal.
What was going through your mind? We were just talking about this. The play where, I mean, he is dead to rights. He is. They got him probably four different times, and he rolls out of it, makes that pass to Dyson that basically sets up that final play. I mean, you're sitting there obviously coaching the game, but did you have that, like, holy you-know-what moment of how did he just pull that off?
It didn't surprise me because you saw those kinds of plays out of him, you know, throughout that early in his career. But that one was historic. You know, you talk about the Music City Miracle and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. That particular play was one of the greatest plays, I think, in this organization's history.
Did you have the thought, like all of us did, of, okay, we'll get back? You know, and the next year's team was probably better. It was better. Definitely better. You bring in Dinger to run the offense and kind of give it that extra kick that it needed. Mm-hmm. That I think unlocked Steve and, you know, different players. Did you have
that thought? Co-MVP, right?
Yeah. Two years later. But did you have that thought of, yeah, we'll get back?
I did, but I knew that what the challenge was going to be, because after the parade here, you know, Eddie came to my office and he goes, Jeff, he goes, I don't want to go to the Pro Bowl. I just want to come back. I just want to get ready for next year. And I go, we got time. Okay, we got to settle down. We got time. We're going to get better. Go to the Pro Bowl. You've been voted by the fans and, you know, your peers, and just go. But that was the mindset moving in, and that's kind of where, you know, where Steve was. Everybody just said, okay, let's go, let's get back. And I recognized that there was a lot of work that needed to get done. Floyd and I did, and so we took our time, and the biggest challenge I think was just the week off. And how to temper them, and then all the stuff that was coming out of Baltimore, you know, and just kind of keep everybody poised and everything, and so a lot of great memories there. And then, you know, we block two punts and they go sideways out of bounds. You know, I mean, wait a minute, two punts,
right?
One punt, okay, but two punts. You know, usually you're scooping and scoring and doing that, those kind of things, and then. You know, I was just really, really proud of him. We just, you know, the ball off Eddie's shoulder was just, that was a deal breaker.
When did you decide, and I think Les was maybe up for a head coaching job or something, but when did you
– He was Tampa Bay.
Yeah, when did you decide we might need to do something different with offense?
Well, I had fully expected that Les – was going to come back, and so everybody needed to go out and take a deep breath. And then he called me and said that Tony Dungy had called him and he wants to talk to him, you know, about their coordinator job. And I said, okay.
Was that from the airport? That's the rumor.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Yeah. So I said, well, hey, I'm happy with you going down. Now, don't misunderstand me. That is one of the greatest men I've had in my life, that friendship and Les and what he stands for and everything, what he's done. But it's a business. And I said, well, yeah, go ahead and go down there and, you know, you better get it because you don't have one here.
Sorry.
You know, and I'd had a relationship. You know, Mike Shanahan and I were close, and then, you know, I'd had developed a relationship with Dinger, and I just knew that Dinger was going to be the guy.
And he was. We like to play revisionist history. If you thought about how your life would have been different had you won the Super Bowl, you ever let your mind go there? Because that could be a deadly place, right? You start thinking all that things.
Well, on one hand, there's the motivation to get back, but that doesn't really change if you win it. But, no, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, we might have had some coaching turnover, like as we did. I mean, Greg Williams and then, you know, a couple of years later, Jim Schwartz become head coaches. And so we got a little tree going. But, you know, my thing would have been, I'm going to figure out a way to get back there again. That was why Bud hired me.
Yeah. And so 26 years. I mean, you sit down, you're like, wow. I mean, does it feel, does it, like, do you think about it yesterday? Does it seem 50 years away?
It seems, I mean, you know, it's interesting. It was about a number of years after the game where I actually sat down and watched it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and watched the coaching tape and went back through it. I just, you know, was motivated to get in there. I knew what happened. It was, I was, you know, obviously I had a really good seat. And it was a while. And when I got into the detail of the game and the injuries and what happened, that was an amazing comeback based on, you know, the season that Coach Vermeil had in his team.
And, oh, yeah.
And they were, wow. I mean, to think that, you know, we had played them and we found a way to get it done early in the year, but, man, they were on a roll. And Kurt and that whole crew, the greatest show on turf and everything was great. But I really haven't gone down that path. I think, you know, what I'm so appreciative is the organization and that my relationship with Floyd and the fact that they understood patience. They understood that, hey, there's going to be some injuries. Well, we come back in 01 and, oh, my gosh, you know, Steve's hurt and the thing's a mess. Come back in 02 when we go to the championship game. So, you know, just was their patience and the stability. I mean, there's not a lot of that right now. And we lost some of it here just a couple of weeks ago with Harbaugh and, you know, and Tomlin and, you know, all that stuff. So I think stability is the key. And I wish ownership would understand that and give people some time to build.
You know? Right. Yeah. Your thoughts on Robert Saleh? I don't know how well you know him, but.
You know, I don't know him well. I spoke with him last week, congratulated him, and I'm really excited. I think, without a doubt, he's the right hire. And, you know, thinking about Coach Saleh running the team and overseeing the defense and then Brian Daboll. I have so much respect for Brian, and you know, we talked, you know, years ago about, you know, getting together and going out and, you know, being part of a staff. I was trying to get back in, and you know, I followed his career really close, and I think that's a great hire considering all the circumstances, considering Cam, his relationship, his demeanor, and what he's done with a number of different quarterbacks at every level. And so I think Brian's a great hire. I personally think that John Fossil is the best special teams coach in the league. Yeah, and so he was with me. And so I think they're on the right track. They really are. Now you just got to go out and get some better players.
I saw things this year on special teams that reminded me of what Coach Lowry had with you. Is that why you wanted John with you when you were with the Rams?
You know, when I got the Ram job, John was, you know, he was kind of looking. I can't remember where. I think he might have been with the Raiders. But anyway, so we sat down, talked, and I hired him. And we had so much fun for the whole time we were together. I was in every single one of his meeting rooms. You know, we got Hecker. We got Greg Zuerlein, and yep. And then golly, I got to go back and teach, you know, Tavon Austin how to field punts. I mean, and then how many fakes we ran over that period of time. I remember Pete Carroll coming up to me probably right in the middle of that of our run, maybe year three. He goes, man, I've lost four games to you guys, and you haven't scored an offensive touchdown. You know, so, but you're going to have to find a ways to win. And Coach Fossil is so creative and so engaging, and the players just love playing for him. So, if you look across the league right now, and you say you got all these teams with all these openings and head coach and things, and you could have Saleh, and you could have Brian Daboll, and you could have John Fossil, you're going to come out on top.
I know you got a few minutes to hang with us before you got to go do your other thing. So we'll step away real quick. I got a few more things to ask you.
Sure.
Coaching wise, Jeff Fisher is with us. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Oats, and continuing with Coach Jeff Fisher, of course, Commissioner of AF1 and with the Nashville Cats, but talking some football. 26 years ago today, the Titans were in the Super Bowl, but getting your thoughts on Robert Saleh. He has said he'd like to call the defense. He's obviously a defensive coordinator that's done a really nice job. You, I don't think, ever did that as a head coach. Called your own defense, but I think offensive coaches, it's probably more difficult to do that.
You're correct.
And so
defensively, throughout my career, I was so wired into what we were doing defensively that I trusted my coordinators to go ahead.
Yeah.
And that's all about preparation during the week. Now, they knew the difference when I was on the headset and I go, hey, man, what about this? Or, hey, what about that? And then it was, hey, call this.
Yeah.
Okay. They knew the difference. Schwartzy did. Drake did. And so, you know, I was really involved. I knew everything that we're doing defensively. But, you know, I would, on occasion, interrupt and make a call. But I would never – my philosophy was never interrupt an offensive play calling sequence. So let them get through it. Now, unless you're getting into – you got defense on the field and you're into a two-minute or a four-minute situation involving game management, clock management, you know, I would tell them, hey, you need to run it first three downs or da-da-da or da-da-da, you know, yeah, that kind of stuff. But making the, you know, the individual call – no, offensively it was, hey, you need to run it. All right, play pass or tell, you know, tell Steve to put it on his hip and don't throw it. Keep the clock running. Those kinds of things. I was managing the game. Now, what about Robert? Robert can call defenses, and I would think that he's going, well, obviously call defenses, but he'll have somebody in there to help him manage it.
Yeah.
You know, especially, you know, there's TV timeouts, there's all kinds of stuff going on, injury timeouts, and somebody in his ear to say, hey, you know, we get a first down here, then da-da-da-da-da, and then, you know, those kind of things. So I would not have any concern whatsoever. I would be more concerned had the Titans hired an offensive coach.
Correct.
That's also going to call plays, because we've seen that movie here the last couple of years.
Right.
Who's never called plays before. But so I would be more concerned there, but I have no concern whatsoever. He can get it done. He'll have a good staff and everything. But he's, you know, now, you know, you got two guys and they're play callers that have also been head coaches.
Right.
Okay, now say three, because Fossil was the intern when the Rams, yeah, fired my ass. But so you got two guys that have been head coaches. They get it, you know. They're going to communicate. You know, they're going to have a plan. And I'm excited for what they've done.
Did you ever – and that was going to lead into my next question. Like, you're the head coach. You're managing the game and all those things. But did you ever view Dinger or Les or whoever as kind of the head coach of the offense that – you knew you could trust them, that they're going to manage that. And then if, like you said, if you needed to, hey, you know, this is where we're at on the clock. We have these many timeouts.
Yeah. That was my responsibility, yeah, as a head coach, to tell them what to do. You know, I mean, you know, here's the thing, you know, the worst thing a head coach can do, an offensive play caller after third down, is say, go for it.
Yeah.
Okay, and now so what you do as a head coach is say, hey, man, if we're in a fourth and two or three or less, we're going to go for it. That he calls the third down play.
So you know that ahead of time.
If you can present as much information to them ahead of time as you can, that gives you the odds of handling all the situational type of stuff. So that was my job. I mean, I would get in the game and, you know, I'd go, hey, defense, you get a stop. You got one timeout left. You get a stop. Click over to offense and go, hey, talk to the quarterback. We should get the ball back after the punt with a minute, 20 seconds left, no timeouts, and get them going. I'm forecasting.
Sure.
You know, and so they can prepare.
Were there times where – you know, somebody that's, you know, up in the booth that may see something that you're not seeing at field level, say, hey, we might want to try and go for it here because they're doing this. You know, this guy's tired. You know, maybe we can get it past them. Were there those moments where you'd have to kind of change it on the fly?
On occasion, you know, you might throw a couple incomplete deep balls on a corner.
Yeah,
you know, and know the corner's tired or corner might be hurt, or but those are the situations that are important. Is that how do you take advantage of an issue on the other side of the ball with your opponent?
Yeah,
you know, it's like I mean in St. Louis and L.A. I mean, it's like any offensive coordinator that we played needed was adamant about knowing when Aaron Donald was not on the field. Okay, so there's a coach upstairs going, "Hey, Aaron Donald's not on the field. He's taking a break. He's off this series." And your offensive coordinator can go ahead and call some plays that he doesn't have to be terrified about what Aaron Donald may potentially do. So you know, there's so much communication going on. But you know, I was kind of, you know, always just prepare him during the week, encourage him. You know, the game plan's in. If you got to adjust, sometimes you got to adjust, but just communicating to both sides, offense and defensive staffs, and you know, you go from there.
So, week 15, 2002 season, Monday Night Football game, playing the Patriots. You probably don't remember because you've been in 1,000 games. You beat Bill Belichick 24-7. Bill Belichick, in a book called Patriot Reign, said that you guys kicked his ass that game and it would never happen again. His team had to get tougher. Tougher and tougher and stronger because he didn't want to be embarrassed again on Monday Night Football. So your football team, Coach, kind of spurned Bill Belichick into a different way of according to this book, Patriot Reign. Bill Belichick has come under a lot of talk this week about being in the Hall of Fame. If you want to say he's a Hall of Fame, I don't. That's up to you. But I mean, he won 6 Super Bowls, right?
Yeah. Who's saying he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer? I mean, really? No, I mean, you can go into all the, okay, you know, Bledsoe and roll the dice on Brady, and you had Brady, and da, da, da. But come on, you know, what are you going to put Brady in the Hall of Fame twice? You know, I mean, that's ridiculous.
It's like they're still holding Spygate against him.
Yeah, well, I don't know. But I wasn't aware of that. I'm glad you brought that up. But, you know, I had a conversation with Coach Harbaugh last week when they let him go, because we've been friends. You know, we did a USO tour together, and we've been friends since then. So I was going back through my text chain with him, and, you know, maybe he did or did not. But, you know, we were kind of apologizing. He was apologizing because he made some comments post-game that we were kind of, maybe somebody took a shot. And, you know, and then I came out and said, well, no, I didn't. That was a clean shot. But he goes, we always realize that when we play you, your team is so physically tough, and they take it right to the edge, but there's no intention to hurt, there's none of that, but we, you know, it was kind of like a little bit of, not an apology, but it was just, you know, two right. friends talking to each other and making up so we didn't piss each other off, but that was the deal, man. This team here in Nashville, Robert knows what he's got to do. You know, it's hard. You know, we would, and I'll let you guys go. You got a bunch of stuff going, but I take pleasure and pride in looking to see what our opponent that we played today on Sunday, what they did next week, because most of the time they end up losing because we physically punished them.
Yep.
That's how you win in the NFL.
Thoughts on the Super Bowl?
I'm looking forward to it. I think Mike's done a great job. I mean, I'm so excited for what he's done and everything. And you know, I love the Seahawk organization. And I'm a Sam Darnold fan. So what he did over his career, what he went through, and the opportunity and the Minnesota thing. Minnesota's firing their staff, half their staff.
They just fired their GM.
Yeah, they fired their GM because the quarterback that they let go goes out. So, yeah, you got to
kind of like
somebody.
A football team here in town letting their coach go, and he goes to the Super Bowl 2 years later.
I know.
So. Coach, thank you. Right, always good to see you.
Yeah, and, you
we'll catch
thank
up
you.
Soon.
Real quick, free go.
Stay warm.
The Cats, right?
Yeah.
We're good. And
oh,
Clarksville?
Everything's good. Yeah, oh, shoot. Clarksville's going great. Yeah, we're selling all kinds of tickets. We should. All 7 games should be sold out, you know, and yeah, there's a lot of interest up there. So we're getting out in the communities and doing some stuff. And we'll be doing some stuff down here in Nashville, too, as well. So
I love it when you talk about him. You perk up.
Yeah,
I mean, you're having fun.
Yeah, I'm having fun. Yeah, really having fun.
We love
it. Hey, when you only got 8 guys on the field in a 50-yard game, how can you not have fun?
Yeah. All right.
Appreciate you, Coach.
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it. Jeff Fisher joining us here on the program, and he's a busy man.
He is a busy man.
We appreciate it. We'll have more with him coming up next, including Chris Sanders. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.